The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thank you for tuning into the Sports Ethos Nets podcast. This is your host, Cody Mallory, on Twitter at RealCodyMallory. Once again, joined by my two co-hosts, Anthony Dittmar, that is at Anthony Dittmar _ on Twitter, and Joe Farrow, that is at SwampDragonStan on Twitter. What is going on, guys?
What's good? The Nets are looking good the last few days. How about that?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, it's a nice turn of events, honestly. We're not really used to that this year, even though we should be, but you know, it's fun.
All I gotta say is 39 games without Kyrie Irving, 31 games without Joe Harris, 9 games without Kevin Durant, decimated by COVID for about 2.5 weeks, and our Brooklyn Nets are still in first place in the Eastern Conference. So
imagine.
That's all I gotta say. Adversity, adversity, adversity. And Steve Nash keeps coaching these guys to wins. Put some respect on his name now.
He needs to be fired. Like, what the hell?
Fire him right now.
Make Tiago split with the head coach.
Bro, I just want to tell you guys.
David Vanterpool needs to be the head coach. He showed some
bro.
Yes. Jason Kidd walks so he can fly.
Yeah, exactly.
Forget David Vanterpool as the coach, man. That guy needs a tender. He's got those quick hands.
Yeah. He's probably better than Javon Carter, too.
Oh, man. Slander. But I was seeing in my mentions, like, oh, the Nets are never going to win a championship with Steve Nash. The Nets are going to miss the playoffs. This was like a week ago. And boom, back in first. So clearly, people on Twitter don't know what the hell they're talking about, but that should come as no surprise to everyone. Especially this Anthony Dittmar guy. He said his favorite role player was Mirza Teletovic. Bro, what? Mirza? Oh,
can I defend
myself? Explain yourself. I'd like to hear some explaining, please. All right. Yes.
So the Brooklyn Nets, obviously, when they first came to Brooklyn, they wanted to make some big splashes. They made the Paul Pierce trade. They made the Joe Johnson trade. They made the Darren Williams trade while they were still in Jersey. But they had a big team. But I felt like that team, Mirza Teletovic was the unsung hero. I love just three-point shooting. I thought in today's NBA, he'd be more effective. I still believe in Andrea Bargnani. If he was in today's NBA, it would be a good
Oh, player. Jesus.
Bro, I'm just saying this podcast now. Like, we can't air put this
I'm
out.
Not saying I like Bargnani. I'm just saying he'd be better in today's NBA versus the old NBA. I just heard that Stiletovich was a good role player. I loved his three-point shooting. I loved how he stood up to LeBron in that playoff series. He kind of tried fighting him. In that one game, the Nets won in that second round. I felt that he was, like, one of the main reasons why when they hit, like, 18 threes in Brooklyn during game three. And at that point, I thought there was a chance, not that it was a realistic chance, but a chance that the Nets were going to win that series and knock out LeBron the Heat. I obviously was wrong as the Nets lost in five. But that one game, I enjoyed myself. We did sweep them that regular season, though. I will take that to the grave because that's the reason why I thought we'd win.
Just Anthony, saying. I got one thing to say real quick. If you put Andrea Bargnani on the Nets today, He'd be making the Marcus Aldridge look like Nick Claxton out there. That's all I can say.
He was a good three-point shooter. Like,
no, I'm just talking about on defense, man. Imagine him getting switched out on a point guard. That'd be ugly.
Yeah, he was a terrible defender. I remember he airballed that dunk too on the Knicks. That was really
bro.
he definitely wasn't he a net for a very short time? I'm pretty sure he was.
Yeah, it was not long.
It wasn't long. I think
he was literally the next like a month.
Maybe even shorter than Paul Millsap, but we'll get into that.
That was low. Come on, man.
Joe, your favorite role player. I mean, there's only one answer, but I want to see what Joe says. There's only one answer in my mind that everyone should have, but Joe, you could go first.
There's so many, but under Anthony's tweet, I just wanted to show some love to AK-47. So threw that out there. I loved AK-47 when he was a net. But even though he barely played, I'll take it to the grave. Theo Pinson.
Oh, man.
Well, someone got mad. He said he was a cheerleader and he wasn't a role player.
Yeah, exactly. But he was energy. And I'll always have love for Theo Pinson. This isn't even a serious answer because I can't even really narrow it down right now. But Theo Pinson, I'll take to the grave. But if we're talking – you said ex-Nets, right, Anthony?
Yeah, I wasn't talking about current players.
Screw it, Jeff Green. I miss Uncle Jeff.
I love Jeff Green.
I could vibe with that one. Much better than Andrea Bargnani, but
bro, someone said Kyrie Irving. I was like, bro, stop. I was like, come on.
That's hilarious. So my answer. I feel like the Nets, they never have a dominant big man. It's always a role player. So I could throw out Andre Blatch. I could throw out Reggie Evans and Ed Davis. They were both beasts on the boards.
So final answer, Anthony Bennett, right?
No, I think he's going to be a million.
I was a huge Yee guy. I'm going to be honest.
He was so fucking bad. I'm sorry.
Bro, I was a huge – I thought he was the future, but we don't have to go there. Marshawn Brooks was probably my most hyped player I've ever had on the Nets. I thought he was going to be the next Kobe Bryant, the great Kobe Bryant, which obviously that was dumb. No one's ever going to be Kobe Bryant. But the only answer is Jared Dudley, guys. Come on now. Are you kidding me? Duds. How can you say anyone besides Duds? He was a leader. He played like 3 minutes a game, but they were a big 3 minutes a game. He tried to fight people in the playoffs.
He had that stretch where he started like maybe like 8 games in a row. When we
that was dark.
He was killing it for a little bit. He was knocking down.
I will never forget that playoff series against the Philadelphia 76ers. And that just instantly makes Jared Dudley a Brooklyn Nets legend. And I want him on the coaching staff. He needs to be on the sidelines.
I'm convinced that Kevin Durant came here because of that. I'm convinced. Yeah. Like I'm convinced that we got everyone to come in.
And that's when we broke. That's when Ben Simmons broke.
That man not only put a curse on Philly, he broke Ben Simmons. Like that man's never been the same. And who knows if he ever will be? Is he ever going to play again? Where is he going to get traded? If he gets traded, is he going to play? Like,
I want to dive into that real quick. Because there was an offer, it was reported, I believe NBA Central had posted it this week. They said that Philly was offered, I believe it was like a mix of Tyrese Halliburton, and it was like two other guys. I'm going to have to find it. You guys can keep going if you want to comment on it, but it was like an offer. I was like, why wouldn't you take it?
I think Daryl Morey's leaking all the shit just to like, boost up his trade value, in my personal opinion. And I don't know if you saw him on the radio show. He was like, I would take a lot of offers from Sacramento. I think that and the Harden news is all Daryl Morey pumping stuff into the media because he knows he has to get the ball rolling. Because
real quick about that Daryl Morey. Did you guys see he got played by Ballsack Sports?
That's all
that. Yeah. It was like, I don't think you should be trusting no reports from this Ballsack Sports. I was like, oh my god, bro. not another one.
Yeah, they're awful. But so I found the offer. There was one from the Kings that was put out there, but it wasn't as good as this one. It was Ben Simmons to the Detroit Pistons for Jeremy Grant, Sadiq Bey, Kelly Olynyk, and a first round pick.
If that was actually on the table and I didn't take it, then every single person in the front office for Philly should be fired right this second.
That's exactly what I'm saying. And then I'm thinking they are also showing a willingness to get rid of Tobias Harris. If you're able to get Tobias Harris and use that first round pick in a deal to flip for like CJ, let's just say CJ McCollum because he's available. You could then run your lineup of Tyrese Maxey, CJ McCollum, Sadiq Bey, Jeremy Grant, and Joel Embiid.
Yeah. Whoa, Joe, let's not talk this into existence. I don't like the sound of that.
I don't like that. I'm just saying Joel Embiid.
No, but listen, like that, it just makes so much sense for them as opposed to running right now Tyrese Maxey, Seth Curry, Danny Green or Matisse Thybulle, Tobias Harris, and Joel Embiid. Like, that team would be so much better. Daryl Morey, hire me. I will fix your team.
Bro, are you low-key a Sixers fan, Joe? Is that what I'm getting out of this? You
not at all. Anthony? That's just like seeing something seeing such an easy trigger to pull. It's like it makes me annoyed.
I see all these Nets like beat reporters being accused of Knicks fans. I think Nets Twitter has got to go after Joe. Maybe he's a Philly fan.
As good as Joel Embiid is, I still strongly dislike him because
I agree.
No, he's so good though. I can't even front. He's so good.
So since he came down with that bionic elbow on Jared Allen, it was like luckily he had a lot of padding there to protect it. But you know, always been fuck Joel Embiid over here.
Gotta put a lot of respect on Joel Embiid's name as a basketball player, strictly a basketball player, because that man's been absolutely balling. One of those Twitter accounts, Hoop Central or something, they just posted like his last 15 games and it's absurd. It's like 50 points, 47, 36, 38, like 40. It's like every game he's just been going off and
looking like a Keith Randall stat line.
Yeah. But so we're a little under, I believe, 3 weeks away from the trade deadline now. It's like February 10th, I believe. It's that Thursday, February.
Yeah, February 10th.
February 10th, yeah. And we kind of got some news on the Nets from Shams about Paul Millsap, kind of how the Nets were going to part ways with him. There was no detail on how. I personally highly doubt he gets traded. I don't think anyone will trade for him. He hasn't played in what feels like 4 years. but Paul Millsap posted on Twitter with thanks for the motivation or something. So I don't know if he's kind of like attacking the Nets for not playing him and telling him he can't be part of the rotation, or I'm not sure. But Paul Millsap, regardless, is on the way out. You can kind of tell in his press conferences in as early as November that he wasn't very happy with his role, which, to be fair, was a former All-Star that now isn't playing. So, like, he's a lot of his prime, obviously. But even in his limited minutes with the Nets, he was decent. Like, he had some moments where he was like, oh, God, get him out of the game. But he's not horrible. He's not washed by any means. He can still contribute 15 minutes to the team. But with that roster spot, I really think that Kessler Edwards has to get converted to a standard deal. You guys can disagree with me if you want, but the way he's been playing, he's been starting the last six games, and that's 4-2 in those six. He's been knocking down threes at a pretty good clip, guarding the opposition's best player. He kind of tormented Brandon Ingram when he played Pelicans. He guarded DeRozan. DeRozan had a poor game when the Nets blew out the Bulls. So he's kind of doing a little bit of everything, grabbing some rebounds, blocking some shots, some steals, knocking down open jump shots, and he really, really needs to get that spot, in my opinion. What are you guys' thoughts on it?
I think on the Millsap spot, I think, just to touch on that a little bit, I think the Nets didn't really give him a chance. I was excited when we signed him because I thought Paul Millsap rumors to Brooklyn were going on for like 5 years at this point. So when it finally happens, I was like kind of hyped. I was like, oh shit, like, we have Blake Griffin, we have LaMarcus Aldridge. Like, this is going to be fun. I get why, like, he didn't get the playing time he got, but I also thought there was a chance he could play some backup 5 minutes, like with his spacing. But he's a little bit of a cooked product. I'm sorry. He just can't play defense anymore. He was getting destroyed by some of these younger guys. So I get why. I don't know who would want him. I'm cool with switching back with Jeff Green with Denver and being like, we'll just switch back guys. Joe said something like Carter and Millsap works for Jeff Green, so I'm cool with that. Denver wants to do that, like, hit my line. But in my opinion, I think, yeah, Castle Edwards deserves a spot. I don't think the Nets should rush to do it, though. I think the Nets should try to test the waters, getting someone first, and then wait until the playoffs, and you cut Javon Carter and then give him a deal. That's what I would do.
I think it would have – I don't know how the rules work exactly, but you probably have to have his spot converted by a certain date before the playoffs.
I'm going
to
search that.
But, yeah, that would be like a dream scenario if we could somehow get rid of Javon Carter and end up with Jeff Green. That would be very great. But, yeah, I think it was just bound to happen because he wasn't getting a role. It felt like every 3 days he was missing a game for a personal reason. And it was just like it was pretty clear that he didn't want to be here anymore. He just wants to contribute more. Maybe he would like to go back to Denver. That would be great for both sides, I think, if you could work out a deal that includes Jeff Green. Obviously, I love Jeff Green very much, so I might be thinking a bit realistic here, but if you throw in a second-round pick with Millsap Carter, that's an expiring deal in Millsap after this year. You clear up some cap room again, even though it's only a little bit. Yeah, like I said, it was bound to happen, but I hope we could, at the end of the day, get something for him. And with that roster spot, we would clear – two roster spots by taking Millsap and Carter, and you flip that into Jeff Green. Then you get Jeff Green, and you could put Kessler Edwards on a regular contract, which would be like one of the biggest wins I've ever seen.
Yeah. I'd still want De'Ron Sharp in the playoffs right now, the way he's playing. I'm just saying.
Is he not? He's on a regular contract. Duke and Kessler are the two ways, I think.
Oh, my bad. I thought De'Ron was on a two-way, too.
No, I believe De'Ron's on a regular deal.
I knew Cam wasn't. I just didn't know about De'Ron.
I believe De'Ron's on a regular deal, and it's Duke.
Yeah. One thing I want to say about Joe, the Nets could really have valuable second-round picks if, when they traded them, they told the other team that Sean Marks was going to make the pick for them. That's as good as a first. So, like, they're more valuable. But, unfortunately, the Nets can't do that.
Yeah, we had to give 5 seconds for DeAndre Jordan to get off this team.
I know. That's 5 Kessler Edwards, and that's had a dump just how bad DJ was.
Hey, worth.
That deal pissed me off.
Pissed me off, but worth it. It definitely was.
It was worth it, but I would just cut him instead of doing that. But
yeah, you saved a lot of money by doing that.
Oh, yeah, I'm so happy Joe Tsai saved so much money. He needs it.
Well, yeah, he's over here recruiting Breonna Stewart to come over to the New York Liberty. He needs that money.
I think he'll be just fine with that extra $10 million.
My man Joe Tsai is just creating dynasties in New York all over the place.
Let's talk about that for a second, because he is an absolute madman. Like, he goes out, he signs Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. Later, a year and a half later, he trades for James Harden. He goes nuts on the buyout market, getting like, what was it, like over 40 combined all-star appearances on one team last year? And that number went up this year when he got Millsap and brought back LaMarcus. But, like, and now he already has 3 double-digit scorers on the New York Liberty. And now he's going to sign one of the best players in the history of the league. Like, it's obviously not a done deal, but she met with them yesterday, and her odds to sign with the New York Liberty skyrocketed from 40-1 to 22-1 yesterday after the meeting.
I saw some slander of Joe Tsai on the timeline a few days ago because people were saying that he's cheaper on the margins. I don't know what you guys think about that, but there are some deals that, like, I felt like we could have done to, like, keep this team a little better. Like, I'm not saying he's a bad owner, because he's definitely a good owner, but that Spencer Dinwiddie deal, and we could have got KCP, Kuzma, or Harrell. That's my opinion. I think we should have took one of those guys.
Yeah, my thought, yeah, I agree, but, like, I'm not about to call anyone cheap that's paying over $100 million in taxes just to have this roster. So, like,
yeah,
I agree. I'm not saying, like, it's cheap, but, like,
yeah,
you're gonna make a championship team. I think you go all in at least once, like Golden State did.
Yeah,
I want that man, I want Joe Tsai to go buy the New York Giants. That's what I want.
You buy the Jets too, please?
No, the Jets could stay in pool. Joe Tsai running the Giants would be absolutely nuts. They would be trading for every big name star. If we get Joe Tsai to buy the New York Giants. Aaron Rodgers is a New York Giant tomorrow.
Well, Kenny Gowen had a great year for you guys.
Yeah, get out of here, Anthony.
It was great. Our left tackle had more touchdowns than our first round pick wide receiver and $70 million wide
receiver. Yeah, dude. Zero touchdowns from Tony and Gowen.
Yep.
Oh, man. Guys, I was pretty much done with the Giants this year. I kind of forgot they were even a team, and you really had to bring this back up. Like, not cool.
I'm happy with the GM hire. That's all I got to say. I'm happy with it.
Yeah, I'm bye-bye with it. And one more thing on Joe Tsai. He's been posting his son's high school basketball clips, and that kid's a bucket. I don't know if you've seen him, but he can shoot. He can shoot the lights out of the ball. It's on his Twitter. Yeah, right. You don't attend that. We need some offense on this team. Just kidding. We have Kyrie Irving. But
don't you dare bring any nepotism onto this program.
Okay. Anyways, so I got some Dayron Sharpe stats that we kind of back up what we've been saying about how good he's been playing. So this comes from Alex Sturm of Nets Daily. He tweeted out yesterday, when Dayron Sharpe is on the floor, Brooklyn's offensive rebounding percentage increases by 11%, and which is the 100th percentile for his position. In addition to that, Dayron Sharpe is averaging, this one's for me, Dayron Sharpe is averaging 14.34 rebounds per 36 minutes, which is eighth in the entire NBA. That is ahead of players such as Steven Adams, who is known to just be an animal on the boards, Jarrett Allen, who obviously left the Nets, Dwight Howard, and Joel Embiid. So that's – he's ahead of those players. So, like, that's pretty good company. And if he could just clean up his fouls, which last game he only had one, which is a good start, and they kind of get rid of those rookie mistakes, he's going to be an absolute force for the Nets for several years to come.
He is a solid player. I did not expect him to be, like, this good coming out of the gate. I think he's better out of the gate than Jarrett Allen was.
I agree too. He's definitely already shown more finishing poise than Jarrett as at that age. And Jarrett also was a lot thinner when he got to the league than Dayron was, so he wasn't really able to compete as well as he would have liked to grab contested rebounds. But Dayron's already right there, so it's really cool to see Ron contributing right away.
It's just cleaning up the fouls, in my opinion, like playing a little cleaner game. Like, he gets like three fouls every time he's in the game, I feel like, in the first half.
My favorite thing on that was LaMarcus Aldridge in the press conference. I don't know if you guys saw it. And he was, the reporter, I don't know which one it was, asked Aldridge about Dayron's foul problems. And he was like, oh, like, as the mentor or whatever, have you tried to talk to him about it or help him? And he was like, first of all, I was never that bad. That's what LA said. And he was like, but nah, it's just getting used to the transition from college to the pros. Like, you can't use your chest as much, et cetera. So Aldridge gave a very in-depth analysis. I don't fully remember, but the Nets are aware of it. Obviously, Dayron has to be aware of it. So once he figures that out, I knew coming in that he was an absolute animal on the boards. I did not know how good he was at finishing, however.
Yeah,
he's really good. I think him and Claxton as like a combo, like bring Claxton in for defensive matchups and use Sharpe for rebounds. I think that's a really good like center rotation, plus Aldridge for scoring.
That's
dangerous.
They like complement them with each other so well. You have Dayron, that's like a typical, very physical big that can bang around with Embiid. I'm not saying he can guard Embiid. No one can guard Embiid, but the Nets really never had that bigger body before. Then you got Claxton when you're playing a team with an elite point guard that can switch out and somewhat contain them. And then bringing Aldridge off the bench to score you 16 points in 20 minutes on 8 of 10 shooting. And you have a pretty good center rotation, which the Nets really haven't had. They had Jarrett Allen, but behind that, they pretty much had no one. So definitely a big improvement for the Nets in that aspect, I believe.
Yeah, I think people were rushing to trade Claxton because of Sharpe. I was like, why can't they both coexist? Like Claxton is great for switches and like playing some guards and like just defensive purposes. Like, I think it's a really good center rotation. And like the only reason I'd trade Nick Claxton is if we get a serious upgrade. I'm not just trading him for the sake of trading him.
What about Yusuf Nurkic?
I personally don't like Nurkic that much, but I don't think you can make the money work there either.
I saw it was, I think it was Billy Reinhardt who tweeted, talking about how Nurkic and Covington are being made available by Portland. And he was like, that would be an ideal target for the Nets if they really wanted to make a splash to go grab Nurkic, because obviously he could do a little bit of everything. He's really, like, when you watch him, he's kind of like a great value Nikola Jokic.
Can we, like, get him under the money, or, like, can he can't go to the
trade? I don't know his contract or whatever, but
I'm gonna search it.
But yeah. if we can get Nurkic, I feel like that would be, like, huge for this team.
I agree. I think next show, we're gonna go really in depth in trades. We're gonna get a guest on here as well that'll go in depth in trades with us.
He fits under the exemption.
Yeah, but they're not going to dump him for an exemption unless they really just want to clear cap and they're really.
I'm just saying, like, in terms of money, the Nets could make it work. I thought he was making like 18, to be honest. He's only making 12.
Yeah. Also, I think Covington would be a great fit on the Nets, even if he kind of played that center role that he played on Houston, which you can do when you have Kevin Durant also. So
that'd be scary. You have to move Claxton in a deal like that 100% though.
Yeah, that deal definitely includes Claxton. I'm sure there's another 100%. Way where you could do the Nurkic deal without giving up Claxton.
I don't know. Who's the value then? You have to give like one of the rookies. I don't know if you could do that.
That would be one of the rookies getting dealt.
I'm just saying, imagine a lineup of Kessler, Edwards, Kevin Durant, and Robert Covington. Like, good luck scoring. Like, so much length. They can switch on everything, guard it 1 through 5. Good luck.
there's like four Nets you can like think about potentially leaving, and it's Brown, Claxton, Carter, and Millsap. That's really that's all I can see leaving personally.
Yeah,
I agree.
I mean, I could see Blake leaving too after having his role diminished significantly.
Well, the season maybe, but I don't know about this. I don't think about the
trade. Oh, you're talking about like this trade
deadline. I meant deadline. Yeah.
Yeah. So. It'll be interesting. Like I said, we'll dive full into trades on most likely the next episode. We're going to get a guest in here that has some knowledge on it. So I got one more stat before we go into the recaps of the two games, Wizards and Spurs. Just some stats on the 6 games that Kyrie Irving has played versus the 39 games that Kyrie Irving has not played this season. So in 6 games, the Nets' pace with Kyrie Irving is 97.27. In 39 games without Kyrie Irving, the Nets' pace is 98.5. I found that to be very interesting and surprised. In the 6 games that he's played, the Nets are averaging 119.7 points per game. In the 39 games without him, they're averaging 110.7, which, to no surprise, when you add a player like Kyrie Irving, you expect to score more points. Almost 10 is pretty insane, but that's how great Kyrie Irving is. In the 6 games with him, they're averaging 26.7 assists per game. Without him, they're averaging 25.4. Kind of interesting considering everyone says Kyrie Irving doesn't pass the ball. The ball sticks. They're averaging more assists with him. With him, they're averaging 51.5% from the field goal percentage. Without him, they're averaging 46.7, which is obviously a huge jump. That is almost 5%. And with him, they're averaging 89.3 field goal attempts a game. Without him, they're averaging 87.9 field goal attempts. So the numbers with Kyrie Irving are considerably better offensively. And I think we've all seen it with how the Nets have been playing recently.
Can I give my hot take now? I told you to be in the episode. I wanted to give it. This is relevant.
Yeah, let's hear it.
I think the best combination of the Nets' big three is James Harden and Kyrie Irving. They've played the best. It's no knock to Kevin Durant. I just think they complement each other the best of the big three, personally.
I mean, you can't argue with the success they've had. They have the best record. They have the best, like, plus minus. So, like, you can't argue. The stats back you up.
That's what I'm saying, man.
It sounds funny to say that there's a better duo than something that would be with Kevin Durant when Kevin Durant's the best player on the planet, but the numbers certainly back you up, and I'm not going to argue with you because
it's so clean. I don't know. Like, I feel like the worst one is Harden and Durant. I don't know why. And then I think the second best one is Harden. is Durant and Kyrie. That's the way I'd rank it. But I just feel that's my personal take.
Yeah, and I think I'd agree with you, because even last year when KD was out and then them two were together, they were absolutely killing it, and you're just seeing it again.
3.
What?
They were 16-3 last year. Like,
yeah, they absolutely killed it together, and I think it's mainly because we live in such a guard dominant era of the NBA right now. It's just like when you have two guards that are as in sync and as great as Kyrie Irving and James Harden, we thought them two would be the issue when we got James Harden. Like, we thought their two chemistry wouldn't really work out. And they seem to have the best connection of that. Well, Kyrie and KD also are fantastic together. But when you watch the NBA now, when you rattle through like the top 25 NBA top 25 players currently in the NBA, I'd say probably like 13 of them are guards. Like, you have probably a little bit over half of them are guards. And it's just because the explosivity and the ball handling of today's current NBA players, when you're a guard and you're as shifty as a Kyrie Irving, James Harden, Steph Curry, even you're looking at Ja Morant, all these kids now, it's like it makes the most sense as to why teams would have more trouble guarding James Harden and Kyrie Irving together, because those are two of the top four guards in the league, two of the top three, like two of the top four. Yeah. So it makes complete sense to me.
I agree. But let's talk Kyrie Irving, James Harden on the court together. The first game was the Wizards against the Nets in Washington, obviously, since Kyrie Irving was allowed to play. This game was Wednesday night. Typical Nets fashion, they kind of jumped out, got hot, they got a bigger lead. And then in the fourth quarter, they let Washington get back into it. I had a feeling, I'm sure all Nets fans did, it was going to come down somehow, some way, to a Spencer Dinwiddie shot at the end. And sure enough, the last shot of the game, right at the buzzer, all bounced to Spencer Dinwiddie, chucked it up. Thankfully, he missed. But Kyrie was incredible per usual, 13-23, 30 points. He was a plus 13. Patty Mills was 6-10, 5-7 from 3, 17 was plus 12. Patty Mills has been shooting the ball really well recently. I think that has to be said. He went through that kind of cold spell. And when he doesn't shoot well, the Nets don't have a lot of other three-point shooters around them, with Joe Harris out and now Kevin Durant out. So they were struggling offensively. But when he shoots the ball well, the Nets offense looks so much better. I just want to say Kyrie Irving is averaging all these points, scoring all these points, and my man's not even getting to the foul line. Like, the disrespect from the refs, like, he scored 30. He only took two foul shots. Like, that's insane to me. There's not very many players in the NBA that can do that. What's up, Anthony?
It really has. Like, in my opinion, sorry. I think he never really has gone to the line. Like, I think his game is just so crafty. He's just one of those players that doesn't need free throws.
Yeah. It's absurd. It's crazy. And then you have my boy, LaMarcus Aldridge, who I will say is the most underrated player on the Brooklyn Nets, with 27 points on 11 of 15 from the field. He's actually been the closing center for the Nets these last couple games. Obviously, Claxton hasn't been playing, but we've seen Dayron's minutes tick down. He only played 16 against the Wizards, but he's been very productive in his limited minutes. What are your guys' takes on this game?
I thought that was going to go in, honestly. I thought the Kuzma one was for sure going in, just because of the way the game's been going lately. The Dinwiddie one, I was a little more optimistic, because it was kind of a rush shot, but that would have been such a like terrible way to lose, because I know he would have been hyped to make that shot, as he should be. But I was just like, please don't go in. But it was a good game overall. I think you can't keep choking these leads and letting it get down to like last shots like that, because you're going to burn yourself a few times, which we've seen. But overall, good game.
Yeah, I agree with what Anthony just said. They have this really, really bad habit of not being able to put teams away, and it hasn't changed all year. Yeah, it came down to that last shot from Spencer Dinwiddie, which I saw your tweet, Cody. You had to get your little slander in. He's like, he goes, oh, I feel like Spencer Dinwiddie is going to do something. And then he quote tweets himself and goes, oh, he did do something. He missed the game winner. I'm like, Mike, you're such an ass.
Bro, like when I sent out the first tweet, by do something, I meant like win the game, but like it just worked out well. And I was like, oh yeah, this is what I meant, guys.
I thought Spencer was single-handedly gonna win that game too. I'm like, I've seen this too many times. I'm like, he's gonna do it.
Yeah, it was just hilarious that it came down to his last second shot after it was just funny, but all Nets fantasy before, we all thought it was going in. But overall, any win the Nets get right now without Kevin Durant is obviously a good win. They just got to stay afloat. They took care of business Wednesday, went into San Antonio on Friday, dominated the second half, outscored the Spurs by 16 points. It was close-ish in the fourth quarter, and then the Nets kind of took over. One thing I want to say before you guys go, I've been incredibly tough on James Harden all year. I think, obviously, he's still a great player. He's still one of the most important pieces on the Nets, top 15 player in the league. I want to give him a lot of credit because he was just absolutely fantastic against the Spurs. 37 points, 11 assists, 10 rebounds, 13 to 24. So he was efficient from the field. He only turned the ball over three times. This is the James Harden that we've all remembered seeing. And like I said, I've been incredibly tough on him, criticized him. I think it's fair, the criticism I've given him and others. But recently, he's been James Harden. It's been great to see. That's all I have to say is thank you, James Harden, for being yourself.
Yeah, so the Spurs game, actually, it went really well overall. I mean, like you said, James Harden, he looked great. He looked like his MVP self. He threw down a mean dunk on Jakob Poeltl. And after the game, they asked him how it felt. And he goes, I feel like a rookie again. But like, he was joking. He was like, nah. But
yeah, he said he got a swagger back.
Yeah, no, he said he was more aggressive yesterday. And he was really looking to attack and just see what the defense was giving him. And I wanted to bring up a point about how you said Kessler Edwards has been guarding the other team's best player. He was on DeJounte Murray all night last night, and he did a pretty good job. He held DeJounte to under 50% shooting. DeJounte is going to stuff the stat sheet. That's just what he does. But DeJounte still had a triple-double. He shot 8 for 20, which isn't terrible. But Kessler did a pretty good job. He got a block. He got three steals. It was everybody looked pretty solid last night, even Bruce Brown, who had struggled a little bit. He threw down a big time dunk on a fast break after a block.
Bruce Brown up in that trade value. What?
Blake looked really good yesterday. He took a charge. Standard blue collar boy stuff. Bembry made his return yesterday. But I wanna make a point that every single player on the Nets played except for Javon Carter. So
that's always a good thing.
Yeah, right? That must be the formula. To keep winning games, just don't give Javon Carter a single second on the floor. We looked really good yesterday. It was fun to see De'Ron Sharpe grab 10 rebounds. It was a fun game to watch. It was close until Kyrie, until James Harden took over the third quarter, and then Kyrie took over the fourth. So it was definitely a good team win.
Yeah, it was a good game, honestly. Like, it was one of those games where, like, it was close, like, the majority of it, but, like, the Nets actually pulled away, which is, like, kind of, like, reversed, I feel like. Like, their typical game script. So it was nice seeing them kind of just put the game away in the fourth, not really having to sweat it out. Patty Mills and LaMarcus Aldridge had their homecoming, which was cool to see, like, their tribute video and everything like that. Kyrie is just insane. I can't believe he's just doing what he's doing right out the gate. Like, I'm not shocked because he's, like, obviously one of the most talented players in the league. But he's just it's so effortless out there. Like his mid-range, like the way he just gets to the basket. He's like the best finisher at the rim of the league, I think. Like he can hit shots where he's just absolutely smothered. But yeah, overall it's a great game. I think the Nets like are playing pretty well. I do think they need to steal like these games that they've won. I think they need to win Sunday too against Minnesota because they have a very tough stretch coming up. So I'm glad they're stealing wins now because I don't know how many wins they're going to steal against that gauntlet of like Phoenix, Utah. I think they play Golden State. Like it's a tough stretch. Denver, even though they're kind of hurting, but it's gonna be a tough ride. So I'm glad they're winning these games.
Yeah, I just want to talk about one quick thing. It's not really this game, but it's kind of shown in this game is Kyrie Irving and James Harden's relationship. Kyrie Irving in his press conference after the game was asked what led to a strong fourth quarter. And Kyrie said that James yelled at him. He said, "Kai, get the fucking ball." And Kyrie was like, "It was a good yelling though, guys." Like, he immediately was like, "Oh, like, we're not fighting." Like, and then you saw it was going to a timeout. James was about to shoot the ball, and Kyrie kind of like fouled him, I would say. And then that led to the hug after that play. So those two, like, you love to see him getting along well.
Romance.
James Harden said after the game, it's like, "Kyrie's whatever, like, he's super good, like, that's why we need him every game." Steve Nash said that Kyrie Irving was an assassin. So just love to see everyone embracing Kyrie back. I know there was the talk mostly from like bullshit national media outlets, like, "Oh, the Nets aren't going to embrace Kyrie Irving back. Is there going to be any like heated exchanges because of Matt? He's not playing." All that's been put to rest. The Nets are just glad to have him whenever they can.
Yeah, I definitely. It's been good to see Kyrie just welcome back so easily, and like how easily he's gotten back into his groove. And he's just back to dominating in the fourth like he always has. So it's obvious. It's so great. I'm so happy he's playing again.
Yeah, the Nets went from Kevin Durant, who was second in the league in clutch time scoring, lost him, and now they just got Kyrie Irving to fill right in. It's amazing. And it's awesome for the Nets to have, obviously, because a lot of basketball games come down to that end of the game or very few plays. And when you've got three of the best to do it in the entire world, you're going to win more basketball games than you're going to lose. And the Nets have been proof of that this year. Through all the adversity, they continue to win. So definitely good. And speaking of good, as you guys know, we do our predictions for games every episode. We usually have two or three games. I would just like to say that me and Joe have tied Anthony at 11 wins.
Boo.
How does that make you feel, Anthony?
You guys are cheating. You guys made me go first like three times in a row.
Oh, now he's got an excuse, Joe. Like, before he was good at picking, but now that we made him pick first, it's like, oh no, I'm not good at picking anymore. I was just winning because of how we were doing it.
Well, Cody, now you're gonna see how it feels to pick first since you've been making him go ahead of you all year.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go 3-0, and you guys are gonna weep over it. Okay. All right, ready for this? Nets at Timberwolves Sunday. Of course, I'm picking a win. Now that I'm going first, I plan on being in first the rest of the year. I can tell you my strategy. I am not picking a loss on an away game for the rest of the season. The Nets don't lose on the road. So a win. And then we got the Lakers on Tuesday in Brooklyn. I don't even know who's on the Lakers anymore. They still have that Westbrook guy. Like, I see him hitting the top of the backboard every game. Like, Westbrook. LeBron's promising to be better. Nets win big behind James Harden and company. And then Wednesday, a back-to-back, also at home against the Nuggets. It's a makeup game from the COVID stretch. I'm going to pick the Nuggets to win. I don't think the Nets will be fresh after a win against the Lakers on Tuesday. So recap. Sunday, Nets beat the Timberwolves. Tuesday, Nets beat the Lakers. Wednesday, unfortunately, the Nets lose to the Nuggets. Good luck, guys. You're going to need it.
You want to go, Joe? I said I've been going first.
Yeah, I'll go. So Timberwolves away, obviously, taking a win. Tuesday, Lakers, I will take a loss. Wednesday, against the Nuggets, I will also take a loss.
Wow. Joe's feeling down this Saturday morning. What, are you okay, buddy?
No, we're home for a back-to-back. We're home for a back-to-back. It's only going to be James Harden. So I'm like, I'm like, any team with LeBron against a dismantled team, I'll take them. That's what that's my logic behind it.
That's why the Nets got to take Tuesday, because I don't think there's any chance in hell they're taking Wednesday.
Yeah, because I mean, I feel James Harden's at least resting one of those games. They're just going to mail it in for that one, at least one of them. So, I mean, and I think they'd much rather try to beat the Lakers than they would try to beat the Nuggets. So,
yeah. So you're going win, loss, loss.
Yep.
Anthony,
I feel pressure. I feel pressure.
Yeah, picking last isn't so easy, is it, Anthony?
So I'm gonna go win for the Minnesota game. The back to back is where I'm struggling to think which one they're gonna win. One of these are on the road would be so much easier. I think I'm gonna go. I think I'm gonna go. Jeez, Cody, who'd you take? You took win loss. I'm gonna go win loss win. I'm gonna go win loss win. I got this.
So we all picked differently. I don't think this has ever happened before.
Yeah, no, it definitely hasn't. I don't think all three of us have picked differently before. So the standings are going to look very interesting by the time we record next.
Finally, I'm going to be in first place all alone. It hasn't happened this season.
As he loses all three games.
Can't wait until after this weekend, after this, like, stretching, you're in last place again. I cannot.
Well, because I think the Minnesota game, we're all going to be the same. So it's the back-to-back that's really going to change what the standings look like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like you guys said, it'd be much easier if this back-to-back was on the road, which is crazy.
We'll have a competitive leader after this.
Yeah, we would.
We are all tied for – we don't have any combination where we would be tied after this stretch.
We could. I think if, like, it's split, like, the back-to-back.
No, because I have two losses. Cody has a win and a loss, and then you have a loss win in that order.
Yeah, we can't be tied.
He won't be tied. We'll have a leader by next episode.
I'll be back.
Anthony didn't get much sleep last night, Joe. Let's not attack him too hard. My man, I'm surprised you even watched the game last night.
Well, I watched like the whole second half. I was chilling.
You watched it, or like it was just on, and like
I was really watching while engaging in other activities.
He was watching a Nets Spurs game from 2 years ago on accident.
He was watching Sierza. No wonder he loves the guy.
Watching his classics.
Anything else you guys want to touch on before we end this episode?
Yeah, don't send people death threats about role players. Yeah, I think the Nets got to keep weathering the storm without Kevin Durant. Keep winning games. As Joe said, just win.
Yeah, Joe said – Joe's even said score more points than the other team when he ratioed me. Like, you people on Twitter are tough.
Yeah, that was bad.
Hey, man, I don't know what to tell you guys. You keep it simple, the people agree.
Yeah, if you don't keep it simple, you go with Mirza Teletovic as your favorite role player in Nets history. They get kind of angry.
Bold take. It's a bold take. I stand by it, though. I won't fall from it.
I'm going to make a bold take. I think Tuesday, when the Nets are going to beat the Lakers, that James Harden is going to out-triple-double LeBron James. Take that for whatever you want to take it as, but I don't know what out-triple-double means. It just came to my head, but I thought I'd say it.
LeBron's been crazy lately, though. LeBron's been going off.
James Harden's gonna score more points. He's gonna have more rebounds, and he's gonna have more assists than LeBron in a triple double. That's what out triple double means, Joe.
All right, fair enough.
Ratio.
Ratio. All right. On that note, we're gonna end. Once again, thank you for tuning in to the Sports Ethos Nets podcast with Cody, Anthony, and Joe. As always, please like, comment, subscribe, rate, tweet at us, interact with us. We love it. And as always, let's go Nets. We're due for a tough stretch, but the Nets have dealt with adversity all year and will continue to win basketball games.
Nets in 3.